So today, we add to a series that we have done before. In this Great Stories series, one we've done for the last few years, we've taken some favorite stories of scriptures and we have unpacked them. We're going to do that again today and for the next couple of weeks as well. And what we do each week is we're going to see what God is up to in giving us these great stories. And today we turn to the story of Jesus calming a storm on the Sea of Galilee in what is today northern Israel. And so this is that story as told in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And this is after a day of Jesus teaching the crowds about the kingdom of God and some other things. Here's the text. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the winds broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So there's three versions of this story in the Gospels. The four storytellers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, three of them tell this same story here. And each of them emphasize certain details of the story. Mark, for example, that I just read, includes the unique details like there were other boats and that Jesus was sleeping on a cushion in the stern of the boat. Matthew connects the sea crossing with an earlier teaching moment out of verse 18 and omits some of the storm kind of setup details. Luke emphasizes the danger that they were in and uses the double, anytime you see a double word said in the Bible, usually there's emphasis. So it's the double master. They were afraid. It's the urgency with it. But even though there are differences among Matthew, Mark, and Luke's telling of this story, they're so remarkably similar. They all emphasize that Jesus is the one who initiates the boat trip. He tells his disciples that they're going to go across the lake and they all get in the boat or boats. They all tell of the severe storm that comes up. The storm is sudden, it is fierce, it's going to swamp the boat, so it's dangerous, but it's not the kind that's uncommon. I mean, they knew about these storms on the Sea of Galilee. The boat begins to take on water, it's in danger, of course, of being swamped, and the disciples are terrified. And they all tell that Jesus is asleep in the storm. Right in the middle of the storm, despite the danger, Jesus is calm, Jesus is asleep, right there in the boat, which emphasizes, of course, his humanity, that he was tired, but also his control and his peacefulness amid the chaos of the moment. They all tell how the disciples wake Jesus. They cry out with fear. I mean, there's panic. They're convinced they're all about to drown, which is pretty saying something because a good number of them are fishermen. They're convinced this is really bad. Each gospel records different words, but it's the same desperate plea. And they all tell of Jesus rebuking the storm. And you notice that he doesn't just raise his hands like a Jedi Knight, you must be calm. Instead, Jesus rises up and he commands the wind and the waves to be still. And it happens. And it happens immediately. And there is just this dead calm that follows. If you can just imagine imagine yourself in that moment, or if you've ever been out in the storm on the water, and all of a sudden it goes from that to nothing, like dead calm, that's the moment. And then they all tell how Jesus questioned the faith of the disciples. After rebuking and calming the waves, he then rebukes them for their fear and for their lack of faith. It's a big teaching moment in each of the versions And so finally, they all tell of how the disciples are amazed and they are afraid. They are in awe of Jesus' authority over nature. They ask themselves, I imagine them asking themselves with a whisper, who is this? Who is this? As they recognize the divine power of Jesus. And all of this builds up to what this story means. What is the point of this story? Why is this story told to us? What does it mean for us? Or to say it another way, what do we do with this story of Jesus calming the storm, of calming his followers' fears, of rebuking his followers about their faith, and then leaving them all a bit gobsmacked? For my doctorate coursework, I took a course with one of the best preaching professors of our lifetime, is Dr. Haddon Robinson. And one of the things we needed to do, one of our pre-class assignments, was to do a study of about 20 different passages of scriptures. We were to prepare a little mini analysis and then answer the question, once we've done all that, answer the question, what's the point of each of these passages? Or in Dr. Robinson's words, what's the big idea in each of these passages? Well, one of the Bible passages that we needed to prepare and then we talked about was this story, the story of Jesus calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And so Galilee. So we're in class and we talk through all of our interpretive work. He's asking us, you know, what we've came up with. And then he asked the question that he really wanted to ask, which was, what's the main point of this story? What does this story mean? Or again, his words, what is the big idea in this passage? And in our own way, we each said, it means that Jesus calms the storms of any life. I always remember this moment there because Dr. Robinson, he said, he smiled, he's very down to earth. And he said, well, I don't disagree with that. I agree with that statement, and that is true, and it is biblical, and there's certainly evidence for that throughout the scriptures, but that is not what this passage is about. What is it about? So what is this? What is the point of this passage? And we finally worked around and talked around and looking at all the gospels, we said, well, this story seems to highlight the same core message, that Jesus has divine authority over creation, and that even in life's most fearful moments, because he has this divine authority, we know he is present, we know he's powerful, and we know he's worthy of trust. And Dr. Robinson, he's just like, thank you, that is it. It is first about who Jesus is. He is the one with control over nature. He has divine authority over creation. And then from that comes care and benefit to us. But we are not the first point of this story. That's not why this is in there as in the first place. That's a secondary thing. And so with Dr. Robinson firmly in my mind, I want to say two things about this great story today. And the first thing is this, that this story tells us something important about Jesus, and that is that he has divine authority over all of creation, which is to say that Dr. Robinson was right and is so really helpful. The greatest truth in this story is not first about me. It's not first about us. The greatest truth in this story is first about Jesus. Before we rush into how Jesus calms our storms, we must see that this story reveals who he is. Jesus is not merely calming the storm. He is showing us that he rules. He rules the storm. The wind and the waves obey him. The wind and the waves recognize his voice. Think about that. They recognize his voice. His voice. The voice of the second person of the eternal Godhead, the voice who was there from the very beginning, was known by the storm. His voice was ancient. His voice was eternal. His was the voice that spoke light into the darkness. His was the voice that carved oceans and flung stars into the sky. His was the voice that creation had heard once before. At the beginning of all things, the book of Genesis, the very opening of our entire Bible, when chaos was first tamed by voice command. On that Sea of Galilee, it was as if the waves paused in the middle of that storm and rage and was a bit startled and said, I know that voice. The waves flinched, recognizing their master. And this wasn't a new authority. This was the original authority from the Ancient of Days. Creation obeyed, not reluctantly, but instinctively. His is a voice creation remembers. And when he speaks, everything listens, not because it must, but because it was made to listen. So, before this is a story about your storm or mine, it is a declaration about his identity. Before this story brings calm to your storms or mine, it brings clarity about him. He does not borrow authority. He is authority. The wind and the waves bow down because the Creator is in the boat. That is first, that Jesus has divine authority over creation. And then, now we get to say it. What follows from that first truth is that Jesus does calm our storms. He does calm our storms. You may have heard about the Southwest flight leaving the Burbank Airport. It was a week ago Friday. If you don't know the story, 6 minutes into this flight here, it just rapidly descended 475 feet in order to avoid another airplane. I'm so happy I was not on that flight. Would you imagine that, just that sudden dive like that? But when I heard that story, it did remind me of another flight that I was on. My father was in the Air Force for 38 years. He didn't fly for the Air Force. He had his private pilot's license, though. And he would often fly us, our family, home to North Florida in this one of these little five-seater, single-engine Cessna or Piper airplanes. And on one trip in particular, somewhere over Kentucky, we knew that there were storms nearby. We were flying in conditions where storms were nearby. Dad was a VFR pilot. He was VFR rated, meaning he was visual flight rating, so he could not fly into cloud cover. So he had to fly under that. The ceiling was low, and so we had to fly low. And I remember I'm in the back seat. Mom and Dad are at the front, and Mom and Dad are looking everywhere, looking all around, looking for danger, like radio, tall radio towers or other airplanes. And I did too for a while, but it was pretty clear that my parents had this. And Dad's voice was relaxed, and it was calming. And I was tired, and Mom and Dad were in control. And I fell asleep. I relaxed and fell asleep, not because the weather had changed or the storm clouds had disappeared, but because I heard my father's calming voice. I had a safe place with someone who loved me and looked after me. I think about that calm that comes from God. It's the kind of calm that Psalm 107 talks about. It describes. Psalm 107 says this: Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. He let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. This is what God does. And that calm is what Jesus brings in that boat with his disciples. He literally stills the wind and the waves with a word. He tells the wind and the waves, be still, quiet. His power is total. His presence is peace. And here's the thing. You and I already know this. We don't always get the miracle of the storm being stopped, but we are always offered the gift of Jesus being with us in the storm. He doesn't promise a storm-free life, but he does promise to never leave us. The same one who silenced the wind with a word still speaks peace into the hearts of those who cry out to him, which means that whether your storm is external or internal, with things like grief or anxiety or despair or fear, You have this promise. You are not alone in the boat. And when Jesus is in your boat, you have access to peace that this world cannot give. And the storm cannot take it away. So here's the heart of the matter for this message today, for this story today. Before this great story is about Jesus calming the storms in your life or mine, it is a revelation of Christ's divine identity. He is not merely a comforting friend or a helpful teacher or a compassionate healer. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. The storm ceases because the Creator speaks. And when the disciples ask, "Who then is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" That's our question too. Who is this Jesus? Who is he for you? He is the eternal voice the storm remembers. He is the power behind creation. He is God who has come near to you and me. The point of this story is not first that Jesus calms storms, is that Jesus is Lord. And because he is Lord, you can trust him in any storm. He's not indifferent to your fear. He is not absent in your crisis. He is in the boat with you. And the one who commands the wind is also the one who holds you fast. And so the call today first is this: know him. Know him. Not as a sidebar part of your life, but as the sovereign Lord of all. Come to know him as he truly is. Know him, and then second, trust him. When storms rise, when control slips through your fingers, remember who is in that boat with you. Even if the storm doesn't stop right away, you are not alone. He is with you. And he is enough. Let the storm remind you, you're not in charge, but he is. And he is good. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the one whom the wind and the waves obey. You're not only mighty in power, but present in mercy. Help us to see you not just as a helper in trouble, but as the Lord over all creation. Give us faith to trust you, not only when the storm is stilled, but even while it rages. Let your voice be the one we listen to. Let your presence be our peace. And let our lives proclaim who you truly are, Lord of all. Amen.